Turn with me to our reading for this morning and our passage, the good news according to John chapter 6. We'll read from verse 35. The good news according to John chapter 6 from verse 35, which is off the back of the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord Jesus had just fed over 5,000 really, but 5,000 men. By a miracle, and this is the next day when they're speaking to him. The good news according to John chapter 6 verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Turn with me again to the good news according to John chapter 6. We're going to consider verse 51 this morning. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Perhaps a familiar verse to many of you. Certainly a very precious verse and a wonderful promise that God has made. Christ here is dealing with needs. The whole passage is to do with our needs. He deals with here what we could call a universal concern, something that people have always been concerned about, things that people will always be concerned about. Our physical needs, essentially. He's just fed 5,000 people. This is the day after, people are talking to him. They're thinking about their needs. Ultimately, they're thinking about their life. We have needs to sustain, to keep our lives. And the world here that Jesus is in might seem very, very different. Jesus was a carpenter or perhaps a stoneworker. He worked with his hands. He would have lived in a building that didn't have windows like we have. He wouldn't have had a car. He wouldn't have had clothes that are comfortable and soft like we have. The people here would have been genuinely concerned often about what the weather meant for how much food they have, whether they would have fresh, clean water. We imagine, don't we, people wearing long, flowing robes, they're wearing sandals, it's dry and the ground is all cracked. And it seems that, perhaps to us, that this world is totally different. We can speak to someone in Australia in a moment. We can, well, I've come, what used to be a long way this morning, I've come this morning and it took just over an hour for what would be a long walk. The world seems to be totally different. But the thing is, it's not so different. The people here are worried about something that we are all worried about as well. Perhaps some of you are too young to be worried about these things, but no doubt your parents will be worried about them. We are worried, aren't we, about what we're going to do to live. We need somewhere to live, not because it's nice to live in a building, but because it keeps us safe and it keeps us alive. We're concerned with what we can eat and drink because it keeps us alive. We have what we could say are foundational needs, things that we need to have to be alive. We need safety and we need our physical needs met. It's not just Christians that think this, it's not just me. There's something called Maslow's hierarchy. Maslow was a bright man, and he came up with a stack, like a pyramid, of things that you need to have to live. And he set them in order of priority. And the bottom ones, the foundational ones that we need to have, is safety and food and drink. And so, if you're not a Christian this morning, this isn't something that's way out that only Christians think. I think we need things. Maslow thought we need things. Now, he has issues with his hierarchy, and there are lots of things that are wrong with it. But the point is, he knew this important thing. You need to be safe. You need food, and you need water. And so, because we're talking this morning about this thing that we all need, surely you'll agree with me, there's nothing more relevant for us this morning. There's nothing that you need to know more this morning than to how you can have these needs met. What we'll see ultimately is that to have your needs met, you need to have Christ. You need to have the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so relevant to us even today. So let's listen to what God has to teach us. And there are two main things that we'll consider this morning. The first is that we need Christ to be our food. Look at the beginning of verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. We need Christ to be our food. He's the living bread. Now, it's important that he said bread, because bread is a symbol, a picture in the Bible of our basic needs. If we think of our food, what do we need most? We need really to have stodgy carbohydrates, don't we? That's essentially what gives us energy. Meat, it's very nice, but that's a luxury. Fruit and vegetables, yes, you should have them, but essentially they're a luxury. What do we need? We need bread. That's what the Bible means often when it uses bread, the picture of what we really need. It's vital. It's not something that we can add on. We don't sort out the other parts we've got for a meal. We've got the meat, we've got the vegetables, and now we add the bread. Now, for us, we might do that, but for the people here, bread was literally what kept them going, what kept them alive. That was their main food. So when Christ says he's the living bread, he's making that link that he is the food that is required. He is the necessary and vital food. He's not some add-on to your life. And when you've got a lovely life full of met needs that you can attach Christ onto that, or that you can come to him and he can feed you with bread as he's done the day before, and that's okay, and you can have him there. No, he's saying he's more important than the bread they had yesterday. He is this true living bread. Now, he is speaking primarily not of physical food here. He's speaking primarily of spiritual food here. He's got the soul, as we think of it, the soul in view. He's already fed them. He's already fed them. They had feeding yesterday. And it's obvious that he isn't literally bread. So he's using a picture to show that he is talking about something else, something spiritual. Now, when we think bread of heaven, in our culture, we don't think of very much. But when he says bread of heaven to Jews, they start to think of something. They start to think of the Exodus, when they left Egypt, when God took them out of Egypt, and they had nothing to eat. And God gave them something as a gift. He gave them something called manna, and they would wake up every morning and manna would be there. They didn't know what it was. That's what the word means. Manna means what is this? They don't know what it is, but it was called the bread from heaven. It is God-given food. That's what the bread of heaven is. That's what they're thinking. Food that God has given. And it was enough for everyone. It makes a point of saying that in Exodus, that the people who went out and got it, no one had too much, no one had too little. This miraculous food, this gift from God, was enough for everyone. And more importantly, it was sufficient for everyone. They didn't need anything else. When they'd finished the wandering around in the wilderness after leaving Egypt, it makes the point that their feet didn't swell up, which would do if you walked around a lot. Their clothes and things, they weren't worn out. The manna is symbolic of that. They didn't need to have manna and something else. They just needed manna, this special gift of God, this special food. And so what Christ is saying here, I am the living bread. He's saying, I am the provider, the one who gives that manna. I am the one who gives the manna, and I am the manna. He is this basic foundational need at the very bottom. What do people need? They need bread, but they need this bread, this special bread, Christ. And so I do want to emphasize again, Christ is saying is not some sort of add-on, that this Sunday is this kind of extra day at the end of the week where you come and you're Christian. He's not saying that. He's saying that from Sunday to the end of Saturday, you need to have for your life, for your spiritual life, for your welfare, for your well-being, you need to have Christ. I want you to imagine that you wake up tomorrow morning, you wake up in an empty house. There's no furniture, you wake up on the floor. There's no carpet, you wake up on the floorboards. There's no glass in the window, so the wind's coming in. It's very cold at the moment, isn't it? It's freezing cold in the house, not just because there are no windows, but because there's no heating. You don't have any heating, there's no radiators installed. It's dark, you've woken up early, there are no lights. You can't switch them on. You go downstairs, there's no furniture. It's an empty shell of a house. There's no fridge. You've got no food. You've got no water. You go to the front door, or the hole where the front door should be. And there at the front door, you put on your single Armani suit, your very nice pair of John Lobb shoes, and you take the keys to your Aston Martin, and you leave your house thinking, yes, my life is good. I have everything I need. Well, for somebody to think at that point that everything was going well, they're a fool, aren't they? That's stupid. It's ridiculous to think I don't have anything I need. I don't have windows to keep out the wind. I don't have a proper roof to keep out the rain. I have no food. I have no electricity, no running water. But because I've got something that looks nice on the outside, everything's going well. Well, it would be ridiculous to think that, but the problem with that is that that's exactly what you are like. That's exactly what I am like. That's what we are like. We think because I have some luxury that everything is going well. Because we're all together and we're all feeling happy that everything is going well. Because you have a nice car or a steady job or a family that love you or a hobby that you really enjoy. You think that everything is going well, but that's not true. That's not true. It's a lie. And we've all been tricked. I was tricked. Everyone who's a Christian here this morning at some point was tricked. We have been sold the lie. Because I have this, what do we conclude? I don't need God. Because I have science, I don't need God. Because I have power and freedom, I don't need God. Because I have safety, I don't need God. We're looking at the luxuries and we think all our needs are met. And we think because of that, I don't need God. And that is what the world has been telling people. They told them they're here. The men and women and boys and girls that were around Jesus at this point were also told that. When you've got those things, everything is fine. You don't need God. We can tend to think that here, at this time, everybody believed in God. Everybody was spiritual. and it was some sort of old thing. But that's not true. There's a group in the accounts of Jesus' life called the Sadducees. They were not spiritual people. They didn't think that there was a resurrection from the dead. There were groups, and there always have been groups, that don't think about the spiritual aspect of life. It's not that we've got to the point now where we're too clever to think about those things, and that's just for those stupid people back then. No, it's not the case. There always have been people that think that if I can make sure I'm okay in my body, everything is fine. So I want to ask you this morning, are you fed? In this manner that I'm talking about now, are you properly fed? Are you satisfied and full in your soul? Are you satisfied in your soul? Do you think coming here and listening to a preacher and singing hymns and praying, do you think that those satisfy your soul? Or maybe they do. But you'd be wrong even to think that. Because sitting and looking at food does not feed you, does it? What feeds you? Eating the food. Feeding on the food is what feeds you. It's no good looking at Christ and seeing him here and listening as different people come every week and preach about him. No, you must feed on this living bread. That's why he said he's picked food. You need to eat the food to be fed. If you don't have food, you will starve. And if you don't have food for a long enough time, you will, for sure, starve to death. If you do not have Christ, you will starve. If you don't have Christ, you're already starving. And if you don't have Christ for so long, until you die or he returns, if you don't have him then, you will starve to death. And what does that mean? Well, it means that at some point you will be at a position where none of your needs are met. And you will know it. You will be away from God, even though God will be there and you will see God. You will see him at a great distance, not as a loving God with a wonderful gospel as we've sung this morning. But you will see him as the Father whom you have rejected. And because you wouldn't have him as your father, he will give you nothing that you need. He will give you nothing. You'll have nothing at all. He gives you things now, even if you reject him. But there comes a point where you will starve in this spiritual sense. You will have no hope. All hope comes from God. You will have no happiness because all happiness comes from God. No satisfaction because satisfaction comes from God. No rest. No relaxation because all of those things come from God. You will starve. So you need Christ to be your food. The second thing, you need Christ to live. Second part of verse 51. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Christ is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Now you'd think, as we've been talking about food so much, it's obvious, isn't it, that bread will give life. But he makes it clear throughout John that he is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Verse 35, he says that explicitly. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. So there's a different thing, it's something different, a nuance here that he's speaking about. Because this bread, if you eat of this bread, you live forever. Well, there's no bread that we've ever seen that does that. Even the manna didn't do that. No one who ate the manna lived forever. They lived while they had it, but they all died. They all died, most of them, in the wilderness. So this is the bread of life. Whoever eats this is going to live forever. Jesus is saying here that he is the manna that is better, more than the manna that God had given in the wilderness. He makes it clear, Israel ate the manna, but they died. Every single one of them died. But this manna is different. If you eat this bread of heaven, this manna, you will not die. Which begs the question then, doesn't it? You think, well, hang on. Does that mean that Christians never die? Does that mean that from the first Christian to the last Christian, they all live and never die? Well, Jesus isn't teaching that. In the same way that we thought about the bread thinks about a physical need, but Jesus is teaching about a spiritual need, it's the same here. Jesus is using physical life, the picture of physical life, but he is teaching about spiritual life. And we can say with great confidence that in terms of spiritual life, no Christian ever dies. Their body dies. It might die. But their whole person, what and who they are, does not die. It will never die. It will live forever. So manna gave physical life with the anticipation, the waiting, the pointing, the teaching of the Christ, the bread of heaven, who will give spiritual life. Food and drink give life, but not this life. Only this food, only the bread of heaven, only the Lord Jesus Christ gives spiritual life. That's it. There's only one bread of heaven. There's only one source of full, complete, everlasting life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll all agree that for physical life, we need physical food. And it stands to reason then, for spiritual life, we need spiritual food. Now you might say there's no such thing as a spiritual life. There's no such thing as a soul. There's no such thing outside the physical world. And you're happy and content in thinking that the world is just the physical. Well, most of you will have a book in your hands, or a book, there's a picture there, some words on there. The words prove that the world is not just a physical world. Those don't mean anything. They're just physical things. It's just light, shape of light. But they have meaning to us, don't they? Meaning is not physical. There is something more than just what we can feel and what we can taste, what we can see. Meaning is more than the physical world. There is more. There is more. And that is what Christ is talking about in this spiritual life. This more, something that's more. Animals and insects and things, they don't have that more because they don't have spiritual life. That's what makes us different. We have this spiritual life. And so, I ask you again. What do you have? Do you feel fed? And what do you need? Because you need to make sure that you have that one. Don't you? You can think, I have all these wonderful physical things. And they are wonderful and they're very good to have. We should thank the Lord for all the blessings that we enjoy. We have them, but is that what I need? They could be taken away and I could live. So much of what we have could be taken away and we could live. But if Christ is taken away, there's no life. And so whatever other things we have, they're good, some of them, lots of them, not necessarily good, but lots of things that we have are good. But they're not what we need. You imagine someone in hospital, they're seriously injured, been involved in a car crash or something, and they're not breathing. They're not breathing. And you're concerned for this person, and the doctor says, it's all okay. You don't have to worry. They're on a drip. And the drip is sending into their vein everything they need to live. And you say, well, fine, a drip is good. For them to have those things in their body, it's good. But it doesn't matter if they're not breathing, does it? You say, no, but you're not caring for them. You're not addressing their primary need. The drip is good, but they are not breathing, and the doctor needs to sort out that bit. It doesn't deal with the priority concern. They're not breathing. And we can think, and you will think, oh yes, but I have this, I have a happy life, I have a wonderful family, I have a steady job, and all of those things, but they don't matter if you are not breathing. There is no point. You know, people bury people with stuff. There's no point. It doesn't address the primary concern, which is that they've died. But that's what you are doing. That's what you are doing. If you think that my life is good because I have this, you have failed to notice that in fact you're dead. And that needs to be addressed. That needs to be sorted before anything else. You forget your career, make sure that you're living. Forget your family, make sure that you're living. Forget your comfortable house. Your lovely new place to live, making it what you want. There is no point in dressing up a house for a family of dead people to live there. There's no point. Those things are not your concern. Well, they shouldn't be your concern. But again, we have been sold the lie that if I have happiness, if I have stability, if I have rights, if I have freedom, then I'm alive. But that's not what makes someone alive. It's life that makes them alive. So you need life. Look at your life and see the lie that you have been sold. We have more than just about any group of people ever. But half of people who work are depressed. We've never had so many people with so much who are so miserable. Never. We've never had so many people with so much money who want more money. Money that they can't possibly spend. It's impossible for them to spend it. They make money faster than they can spend it. And we have been told that that's what our lives should be like. That's what we want our lives to be like. You've been sold the lie that if you have the nice new phone and people think, yeah, that's a cool man with a cool phone, that's what your life amounts to. That's your value. How disgusting. How wrong. That we can look at people and look at their clothes and say, you're worth this much because of what you do and what you wear. You're worth this much because of where you're from, what you do and what you wear. You're worth this much because of what you believe, and you believe something that's cool at the time, and so you're worth. It's foul. You're worth more than that. You're worth more than that. So look at your life. There's no good to exist all dressed up and pretty if you're dead. And I'm assuming that you all want to live. We spend billions of pounds every year on keeping people alive. We have a whole system set up in this country to make sure that the people stay alive. We want to be alive. Well, if you want to live, the NHS is good. But you need Christ first, because he is the one who gives the life. And he's the only way you have the life. It's clear from what he says, there's no second option. He doesn't say, whoever believes in me lives forever, and you can do this too. He doesn't say that you can follow Christ and you can follow Muhammad and that's fine as well. Or you can be a Hindu or a Buddhist and that's fine and you'll all get to heaven in the end. He's very clear, it's him. Why? Because the Father gives life and he is the only way to the Father. And so we say, well then, Lord Jesus, how? Because I can't eat you. I can't do that. You're not here. The people here didn't, so they understood that he meant something else. How? How is this life given? The end of verse 51. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He gives his body for the world. How? He gives it on the cross. Now, after this, he lives a continued life of holiness and goodness, doing everything that God wanted, teaching everything, everyone good things, healing people, helping people. And then, because we're so sinful, all the people who had praised him as he went into Jerusalem and said, "The Son of David's here, the Saviour's here," short time later, they said, "Crucify him. We'll have him killed instead." And Christ then was taken and he walked up a hill outside of Jerusalem and he was hammered to a cross and left to die. He gives himself then. That's the giving of his flesh. He didn't have to go. He chose to go. He could have got down from the cross, but he didn't get down from the cross. He stayed there. How does that give life for the world? Well, on the cross, Christ, who formerly had everything he needed, he knew the Father, he loved the Father loved him, he had the Holy Spirit with him all the time, and this wonderful relationship, perfect and full unity, at that point, all that provision, all that feeding is taken away. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the eternal Spirit, offered up his Spirit there to be there to die instead of the people. And there, the Father, if you like, turns his back on his Son because sin and all the failure of the world is put on him there. And God cannot look at him anymore. And he is punished there for the sin of the world. For his perfect life, the failure of the world, the failure of those who would believe, is poured on him. And God crushes him there as though he were a sinner. Christ starves there. The man starves, spiritually speaking, dies on the cross. Why? So that his life could and would be given to those who believe in him. On the cross, Christ goes up. He's lifted up in the presence of everyone and he says, "Take and eat. Feed on me there and live." Christ is the bread of life and you feed on him there at the cross by faith. You say, "I see all this need that the preacher's been talking about. I see that I have that need. I see that I'm not alive. I see that Christ has life and he there is on the cross giving it for me and I believe it. And I trust it, and I want it, and I will give up all of these luxuries if it means that I can have it." That is eating the bread of life. Christ is the bread of life. He is what you need, and he is how you live. And he says to you on the cross, "Take and eat, feed and live." He didn't have to do that. It wasn't nice, it wasn't pleasant for him to do that. Being crucified is awful, but being crucified and punished for sin is even worse. He didn't have to. But he, as he says in verse 51, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, myself. I give it. And by giving it for the world, he gives it to the world so they can eat. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Let's pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for him, that he gave himself for the feeding, for the life of the world. We pray for those who have not yet taken and eaten by faith. We pray that they would do so, that you would show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who already believe, we pray, Lord, that they would again feed and be strengthened by the bread of heaven. For we ask in his name. Amen.